John chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. John chapter 4. And if you'll turn there, last Sunday morning we were in the book of John chapter 4 and we talked about the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus meeting with her. And the title of the message there was Divine Appointments with God. And this would be this morning's message normally, but today's Mother's Day. And so we focused on that this morning. And I came with two messages, honestly, for this evening. And just praying about which direction the Lord would have us to go. And so the message intended for tonight we'll put off until next week, Lord willing, if the Lord guides in that way. And then we'll preach this evening. But John chapter 4, if you found your place and you're willing and able to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. John 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 39. Thank you again for being here tonight. And as I say it on Wednesday nights often, but being here is half the battle. The other half is receiving what God would have for us to receive. So let's tune in and focus in on what God has for us. Pray for me. I need His help tonight, for sure. And I always need His help. There are certain times where you just know, I really need your help tonight. So pray for me that I would be clear in what we're preaching on this evening. And it's a powerful passage of Scripture. It really is. Much we can learn here. John chapter 4 and verse 39, the Bible says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Title of the message tonight is Come and See. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we do need you tonight. It's already been prayed this evening that you'd work. Lord, you desire to work more than we desire for you to help us to tune into what you have for us. May you be glorified and honored through what is said, how we listen, and how we respond. If those who can't be here tonight, watch over them. Bring them back to us. Lord, be with Brother Dwight and Miss Linda as they're struggling right now. Be with Linda Cox as well with her health situations. Let them know there's a church family here that loves them and is praying for them. Lord, I pray as we gather together tonight around your word that you would work how you desire in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I think one of the themes, if you could sum up the theme of the Gospel of John, I don't think you'd be wrong in saying that one of the themes, if not the theme, is believe. Believe. All throughout the Gospel of John, you hear that challenge, that charge, that instruction, believe. You know, whosoever believeth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, right? And just, it's all over the Gospel of John. Verse 42 says, here in our text, says in verse 42, "And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now we believe." Our theme for 2023 here in the church has been all things through Christ. And the reason we are emphasizing that is because Jesus Christ, in order to live for Jesus Christ, the reason we're emphasizing that theme is because that is essential in living for Jesus Christ. And there's nothing quite like living for and following Jesus Christ. Nothing like it. I wish I could take people's heads and just open them up and just cram live for Jesus Christ into their heads. I wish I could do that with family members, with friends, loved ones, people I know, just the importance of following Jesus Christ. And let me say this, Christian, the Christian that desires to follow Christ, and wants to follow Christ, is struggling to follow Christ. Just a quick statement here. It's kind of a side note. You can follow Jesus because Jesus is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. And you can follow him. And some people, though, can't be trusted. Some people can't be counted on. Some things people say aren't true. But you serve a God who's true. Anything God has said is going to be true. In fact, God cannot be anything but true to his word. Do you believe that tonight? He has to be true to his word. Following Christ means this. I'm taking God at his word. I'm trusting God. I'm obeying God. It doesn't matter how hard it is. I want to challenge you tonight. Follow him. Obey him. Trust him. It doesn't matter who else is not trusting God. That should be. Follow him. Obey him. Trust him. It doesn't matter who's not coming anymore, or who in your family is no longer serving God, or who can't be trusted. You can follow God, and just keep doing it. Just keep following God. Don't quit on him. He can be trusted. And then following Christ means this: I'm taking God at his word. Taking him at his word. I could spend more time talking about that and trying to convince people, but there comes a point where you can't convince anyone. You still keep telling them. You still keep giving the truth, but you can't convince them. There's got to come a point, like this woman said to these people of the city, just come and see for yourself. Just come and see. I love it. I love the fact that people can come and see. What an opportunity that we have. What an opportunity that anybody has. And sometimes you might say to somebody, just come and see this. Can't quite explain it. They just got to experience it for themselves. I can't articulate really very well why I just came back from there, why I love Heartland Baptist Bible College. I just know God is there. His hand is upon this place. And I go to certain meetings throughout the year, and I just challenge you, come with me, come and see. I know you got to work. I know there's other things going on. But there's just no place like Church Planters Conference in January. I've been to a lot of conferences, different places all over the nation, and there's nothing like Church Planters Conference. It's just amazing. I mean, I just say come and see. You know, I can't articulate how great it is. What makes it so good? What makes it so different? You'll just have to come and see. How many have been to Lambert's restaurant? Lambert's restaurant, yeah. I mean, home of the throne rolls, right? It's not very good grammar, but it's good food. You know, it's not very good etiquette, but it's good food. Home of the throne rolls. It's just an experience that you just have to experience. It's food. It's a restaurant, but it's great time. My wife and I went recently, and man, it was. We just had a great time there. You just have to come. How many of you have never been there? We've never been there. You just got to come and see. I'm telling you. You'll never forget it. I'd like to work there. I would. You know? Hey, I want to roll. I'd be like, you know? Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, you know? And if somebody complains to me, if a customer complains to me about something, or if they're whining about some food, I'd be sneaking around the corner. I'd be like, where are they? There they are. Boom! Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed you wanted a roll. My bad, you know. But it would be a fun place to work. It's a fun place to go and to eat. It's very busy, very crowded. But you just have to come and see. I can't explain it to you. Hobby Lobby. I don't get that one. No, I don't get. My wife has said to me, come and see. I went and saw. And I'm just like, yeah. No. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I'm not seeing it, you know. I just don't get it. You know, Pinterest. Sorry. It's just, what is it about? Come and see what? I mean, I don't get it. There's nothing there. But regardless of what it is, sometimes you can try to explain it. You can try to your best to articulate the truth about it. But there is nothing like coming to see it for yourself, to taste and see, to experience, and say, well, that's a great illustration, but what does that have to do with what you're talking about? We can talk all day about how good God is, and I can do my best to try to convince people, come on, be faithful to church. You'll be glad that you were, or get saved. It's the most important decision you can make in your life, or let's give up that sin or whatever, and I can do my best, and I'm going to continue doing so. But really, a person has just got to come and see for themselves. And this evening, I want you to consider this. Come and see how great God is. You serve a great God. And I want to put the emphasis on you. Someone of faith. Someone who's a Christian. Someone who is saved. Maybe you're like me and you know some people who are people of faith. People who you would look to and say, yeah, that's a man of God. That's a woman who serves the Lord. And you recall them. Maybe they're in your family, so you recall them early in the morning reading their Bible. Maybe it was a parent that walked with God, or a grandparent that walked with God, or a spiritual leader, a mentor in your life that was an individual of faith. And I talked this morning about my mom and her faith when I was a teenager. But there had to come a point where I had faith myself. There had to come a point I was saved, but faith to follow God, faith to live for the Lord. And someone once said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. I'm not going to ride on the coattails of people before me. I've got to come and see and experience a relationship with God myself. Not just come and see, but come and see for yourself. Come and believe for yourself. This woman, they had questions, and she was trying to explain to them who this man Jesus was, but eventually she just said, come and see. It's not enough that somebody you love believes in Jesus. You've got to personally believe yourself. It's not enough that your spouse reads their Bible, your wife reads their Bible, your husband reads his Bible. You've personally got to spend some time in the Word of God yourself. Their spiritual life does not make you right with God. The fact that your mom or dad was a deacon or a pastor, or the fact that your loved one is or somebody that you know is somebody who serves God means nothing about your personal relationship with God. You've got to have that experience yourself. I'm excited about Vacation Bible School this summer. Why? Because even at a young age, people can understand this. They can come and see. They can, even at a young age, someone can see, I'm a sinner headed for a devil's hell. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. All I've got to do is put my faith and trust in Him as my personal Lord and Savior, as the only way to heaven. They can come and see. In John 4, there was a lady who was at a well. She was going to draw water. Jesus went out of his way to speak to her, told her he could give her water that would cause her to thirst no more. Obviously, it wasn't physical water. And that lady who had a sinful background wanted to know more. Isn't it wonderful that this Savior cared about this lady? He knew her. He knew where she'd be, and he cared about her and arranged a divine appointment with her when no one else wanted anything to do with her. Jesus cared about her. And he told her, I can give you everlasting life. She trusted Christ as her Savior, left her water pot there, ran back to the city. She left behind what she came to do. And when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, He changes everything about you, doesn't He? And she came to the city and said to the people of the city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Some people believed, just because of what she told them. But it appears that some of the men of the city had to see for themselves. Well, they came. And they met the Lord Jesus Christ, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. And they said to this lady, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but because we have heard him ourselves. It's a personal faith. It's something that you've personally got to do on your own. You have to personally choose to accept Christ as your Savior. I've said it recently, often, going to church your whole life doesn't save you. Always having been in a Christian environment doesn't save you. Getting baptized does not save you. It does not save you. You have to have had a spiritual birthday. You must be born again. You have to know that there was a time where you called upon Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Have you had that day? I'm asking you, don't answer out loud. I'm asking you, have you had a day where you called upon Christ to be your Savior? Oh, I've always thought that. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, have you had a day where you personally called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You put your faith and trust in Him as the only way to heaven. But I don't remember if it was Monday, Tuesday. No, that's fine. You don't have to remember that. I'm not even sure exactly how old I was. That's fine. You don't even have to know exactly how old you were. You got to remember the time. I wouldn't know. I was 6 years old and my mom didn't write it down. But I remember where I was, and I remember when I got saved, and I remember her bedroom. I remember telling her I want to go to heaven. She leading me through the plan of salvation. I accepted Christ as my Savior. You have to have a spiritual birthday. See, Jesus wants you to come and believe Him. He wants you to come and believe Him personally. Because the faith that you have is not someone else's faith. It's a personal thing. So what about the four men who brought the sick of the palsy to Jesus, and when they lowered him down through the roof and Jesus acknowledged the faith, he said, because of your faith. Well, yeah, they had faith to take him there. They had faith that Jesus had the answers, had the help for him. But because of their faith, they got him there. But that man, to be saved, had to personally believe and have faith himself. He did not enter heaven because somebody else prayed him to heaven. He did not enter heaven because somebody else had faith for him to go to heaven. He entered heaven because he personally put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. That's how you get saved. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. When Jesus showed up, when Thomas was there, Jesus said, touch my hands, touch my side, see that it is me. He said to Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those that believe and yet have never seen. John said, these sayings are written that ye might believe. 1 John 5 tells us, these sayings have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know this is our Sunday night crowd, but I have a question for you. Have you been saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you had a time where you put your faith and trust in Him to save you? If you died today, do you know 100% for sure that you'd go to heaven? I know many in here would say yes, but perhaps some would say, I don't know, or I'm not sure. Be honest. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Do you know you're saved? If you don't, you die today, you're going to hell. Get it settled today. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. Come and see for yourself. Put your faith and trust in Him. Get that settled. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks of you. Worry about what God knows. If you don't know Christ, come and see. Maybe you are saved tonight. Maybe you know Jesus. And you know God's not finished with you yet. You're here. I know He's not finished with you because you're still here. If I drop dead right here on the platform, then you know God's finished with me. He's not finished with me yet. See, He wants to fill your life spiritually. He wants to help you to walk by faith. He wants to help you follow Him. He wants to help you do all things through Christ. Ever wish you could get somewhere without trying? We've taken a had a lot of driving time lately. Man, I don't like driving long distances. It's especially in that minivan. I'm a little bit too tall for that minivan, and it's just a little bit tight. And with the back issues, my back's doing great lately, but with the back issues that I've had recently, especially, it was a little bit difficult. Sometimes I just wish I could snap my finger and I could be there, you know. We took a trip, so when we went to Oklahoma City and I drove back with the boys on Wednesday before church, so I could be here for church Wednesday night, I made Josiah take a nap because I knew we had church Wednesday night. We don't really love it when he falls asleep in church. And so the only 2 days we really try to make him nap is on Sunday and on Wednesday. The other days, if it happens, okay, but we don't really try to make it happen. And so I had him nap while I was driving. Well, he had a long nap. I mean, he had a long, long nap. And my mom kept the boys that night because I had to get up early on Thursday morning and didn't want to have to deal with shuffling them over to mom's house that morning. So she took them Wednesday night after church. And she dealt with my mistake of him taking a long nap throughout the day because he would not sleep on Wednesday night after church. But he said to me after we got back and we're getting ready for church, just throwing the luggage into the house, and I'd already prepared the message, things like that. But he said to me as we're getting ready to, actually we were walking over to church from the house, he said, "Dad, that was a fast trip from Oklahoma City." I remember that. I remember as a kid, man, I'll fall asleep, wake me up when we get there, you know, or on the airplane especially. I always hated airplanes and airports and I'm going to fall asleep. Not that I'm scared of it, nothing like that. I didn't like it. So I'm going to go to sleep. Hopefully I sleep through the whole thing. You know, it makes the trip seem like it goes faster. I wish I could fall asleep while my wife's driving, but my wife's driving, so it's really hard to fall asleep. Two, I get car sick if I'm not driving. I do. I get car sick, and especially if I've read something for 2 minutes. If I read in the car, I'm done. And so I usually will do the driving. But still, I mean, you know, I'm scared of these driverless vehicles that are coming out, right? That kind of creeps me out a little bit. I don't ever want to get involved in that kind of thing. But the theory of it's kind of cool. You know, theoretically speaking, if I get in a car and I just push, you know, an address in there and this electric car just takes me where I want to go and it's nice and smooth and I can kick back and relax. I like that idea. That's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, but I'll never get into that. There's no way I will. Now, I wish things could happen without, you know, me doing so. I've always wanted to just be really good at playing the piano. That'd be really cool. You know, and I can play a little bit, actually. I'm really good with the three songs that I know that I learned when I was in third grade. I'm a pro at those songs. I'm not going to. But I've shown off those songs about 1,000 times to my wife, and she has nothing good to say about them. But I wish I could just sit down and I could just, but it takes practice. It takes work. It takes time and energy and effort and sacrifice and all these things to get good at that. I wish I could be, you know. I wish I could just snap my finger and I'm in great shape. Any amens on that one? Yeah. It's going to take some work for that to happen. It takes a lot of work for that to happen. Eating right and not eating wrong and skipping out on that ice cream that you're going to have tonight after church. And who wants ice cream? I do. And I mean, you know, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. They say that, you know, being in shape is one in the kitchen, not in the exercise room. And so there's just some sacrifices you've got to make, but it doesn't work. If I want to get somewhere, I have to do it myself. I can't rely on some machine to do it for me. If I can follow directions, but I've got to take the effort to follow. If I want to be physically fit, I have to exercise. I don't get in shape because my wife goes downstairs every morning and works out with my daughter. And I'm sitting up there going, they're crazy. They're absolutely nuts. If I want to be physically fit, I've got to do it myself. If you want to be spiritually fit, one, you've got to be saved, but two, you've got to be the one. You've got to be the one that goes to your Bible every morning, you've got to be the one that gets in prayer and communicates with the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, the one who loves you. You want to be close to God, you've got to make some effort to spend some time with him, to look to him for strength and guidance, to do the things that he wants you to do. Quit using excuses. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm as guilty as anybody on this, but quit using excuses of why I can't. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The Lord wants you to have a relationship with him. My wife reading her Bible doesn't get me right with God. Jesus says, come. God invites you. Come and believe yourself. This is such a simple, simple message tonight. So elementary. But it's so good. I feel like I fail every time I try to explain it to you. I feel like I'm inadequate to explain it. And I think the more mature the Christian, the more they feel like they fall short in these areas, or they fall short in explaining these things to people. The more you experience Christ, the more you experience a relationship with him, the more you want to convince others, but you just can't get it out the right way. The more you try, the more you want to say. Sometimes it just comes down to this. You've got to come and see for yourself. If you don't, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's not about the preacher or anybody else trying to control or change anybody's life. I'm just saying, when you get excited about something you experienced, you tell others, and in your heart and your mind, you know they're missing out when they've not experienced what you've experienced. Yeah, I mean, listen, I know not everybody's going to be able to go to the Grand Canyon in their lifetime, but if you've not been to the Grand Canyon, you're missing out. It's pretty awesome. I never heard of Carlsbad Canyons. We went there a handful of weeks ago. I never heard of it. I didn't know what I was missing out on. And that's the thing. It was absolutely jaw-dropping, amazing. It was ridiculous how awesome that canyon was. And I cannot even come close to explaining it to you. And those who've not been there don't know what they're missing out on. Sometimes your energy and excitement about somebody, sometimes just a change in your life. This woman was saved. This woman who was looked down on by everyone else, her demeanor was different all of a sudden. There was a change in her that they hadn't seen before. This woman who was living in adultery, had five husbands beforehand. This woman who avoided people. That's why she went to the well at noon. She got saved. Praise God for that. But she got changed. And when she got changed, people saw it. She went back to the city and they're like, what happened to you? She's like, I can't explain it. Just come and see for yourself. This is the Christ. And people need to see a change in your life. They need to see some excitement about you. They need to see some intensity in your life. Don't expect them to be interested in what you think they need to know if they can't see the compassion in you. People don't care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. Come and see. If you are struggling in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have our ups and downs as Christians. I know all of us do, but there are some who just, they've been saved, yet so is by fire, the book of Jude says, and they've not grown in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and they've not developed. I'm telling you, there is nothing like spending meaningful communication with God. There's nothing like being close to God. There's nothing like just praising him throughout your day in your heart and in your mind, even at the workplace. There's nothing like just praying, God, help me. My attitude is getting a little wrong. Just having this closeness. He's always there. He's always there for you. Just come and see. Just try it for yourself. I'm talking to Christians. Spend some time in his word. Spend some time in prayer. He's real. Amen? No, like he's really there. Like right there. As in, he's taking up residence in the temple of God. This is where he's taking up residence. He's right there. He's just a prayer away. Just experience him. Just come and see. Grow. Where are you at in that? Where are you at in your relationship with God? He's more important than your spouse. He's more important than your wife. He's more important than your husband. He's more important than your kids. He's more important than your parents. He's more important than your toys or your material life. He's more important than your money, your job, your finances. Your retirement is more important than anything. And he's the most neglected by many Christians. But come experience him. Come spend some time with him. Get excited about telling others. That listen. You might not know all the words. You might not know how to witness to somebody. If they see a change in your attitude and your demeanor and your heart, they see something real in you, that's going to be enough to get them interested. It's going to be enough. Just come and see. Miss Barbara was so happy about this family that came last week. She was excited. She said to me last week, are they here yet? I'm like, who? She goes, I invited some people. I want to make sure they find some good seats. I was like, okay, good, good. She says, my bus driver. I was like, praise the Lord, Miss Barbara, that's awesome. And they came. And they came again this week. And she said the same thing this morning. She's like, I'm trying to help them find some good seats. I was like, praise the Lord, that's good. She's excited to get somebody to come and see what she loves. What about you? Maybe somebody tonight, maybe you're saved. And I'm going to ask you, if you're saved, if you've not been inviting folks to Christ, maybe you should. Maybe you should. Maybe you should be asking God to help those who have not been saved. Yes, the Bible is pretty clear. We can pray for souls of individuals. It doesn't say. Paul said that his greatest prayer was that Israel might be saved. There's nothing wrong with praying for somebody to be saved. Maybe you should be doing that. Telling us about Christ. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you would say, I've got to see for myself. Well, come forward and see tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, at this time.